And
she started, was very surprised. And she said, I come here, and you're preaching the whole Bible. The church I come from, I have only heard Acts 2:38 for 9 years. Well, Acts 2:38 is true. But if you only eat potatoes every day for 9 years, you might say, maybe there could be something else on the table. Hey, it will still be the Bible. Because I believe when we have a drive, we really want to understand God. Hey, we'll never figure out God. But we want to understand what He means. Alright, you can all sit down. I get kind of excited. and I forget you're standing. I forget you're standing. So now you're comfortable, right? I hope you are. I was saved back in 1967. Yeah, in the month of November. I felt the Lord spoke to me that I needed to change my life. I was 18 years old, and I began to read the Bible. Is it working? Okay. I don't want to wear him out. Okay. So,
Kakati,
I bought a Bible,
ku Bible,
and started reading.
Yanatani kusoma.
And I read under prayer,
era nensoma nensaba,
because I really wanted to understand.
Kubanga nali netagira ddala okutegeera.
But when you pick up the Bible for the first time, you don't have no clue what is this? What does it mean? Right? But I heard a voice. And I knew when God works, He works in the spirit world. I know that people can talk to you. They can tell you, you need salvation. But if you never heard the word of God, and if you don't know nothing about God, you would say, salvation? What is that? Sinner? What's that? Right? There's no conviction. Because you don't understand anything about the purpose of life. So therefore, and really, why we don't understand anything about the purpose of life is that man has grown away from God. Because the first man, He knew everything about God. He was talking to him in the Garden of Eden. He could feel the presence of God. He didn't need to see him. Because God is invisible. He lives in a light that no one can come to. And no one will ever see God. We will see Jesus Christ. Because he is the true expression of God. Right? But Jesus is not God Almighty himself. He is the Son of God. He is the true creation of God. Because Jesus said himself in the book of Revelation, I am the Alpha and I am the Omega, the beginning and the end. But you know, God is much more than that. He is before the beginning and is after the end. God is eternal. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So, when I started reading the Bible, I had no idea about this. I have now lived for the Lord for about 50 years. About 50 years. And I feel I'm just started. Because God is so much more. But I'm so glad that I have become a friend of God. And I want to stay that way. I know I'm just a mortal being. I can still do things wrong. And my memory has a certain capacity. God is much more than that. And if we put all of our brains together, we would not be able to outrun God. Because he is much more than 7 billion people on earth. He is much more than all the angels that he created. He can direct them all. He can direct all the angels and all the human beings at once, at the same time. He got capacity. We're just small human beings. And of course, I heard my brother last Monday. Yeah, at the crusade.
Okay,
yeah. Yeah, when the crusade started.
Crusade we attendika.
Yeah. And I heard about the Quran. Right?
Yaline musumba ku crusade kumani kati na yeye yaulira ku Quran.
So you must have some Muslims in the area. Well, they're not really a problem. You don't get it working? All right. We'll give it time. Don't worry. We want you to get every word. Okay. So they believe in Allah. And that's their way to express the name of God. They don't want to call him Elohim. Right? I have met Muslim people. I have met Muslim people. And when I tell them I'm a missionary, that I am a Christian, then all they say, so you believe in three gods? No, I say. I only believe in one God. Yeah. But the Muslims, they make fun of Christians. Because they think we believe in a Trinity. But we don't believe in a Trinity. It is not three gods that make up one God. Some of the Trinitarians, they said that the Holy Ghost, the Father, and the Son was sitting discussing about the future. Well, you won't find that in the Bible. But you can find that in people's imagination. Because when God says, I am going to reveal myself in three different offices. And he used the Old Testament as the great Jehovah. And Moses asked, what is your name? So I can address it to the people when I got to Egypt. Then God said, I am that I am. Tell them, I am. Have sent you. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Remember, God
Katonda
as El. The word El.
Katonda Elohim.
Really means God.
Katonda.
And then Elohim.
Era Elohim.
Is a plural expression.
Kwe gamba. Kwe kweyolesa.
Oh God,
Elohim, oh
God Almighty, and no one can really reach to Elohim. Because that means the self-existing God. Right?
Hallelujah.
And you cannot approach the self-existing God. But God wanted a family. So therefore, he made some channels. Right?
Hallelujah.
You have Uganda Radio. And Brother Leo, he took me to the
radio,
and we were speaking into a mic. We did not see anyone, but our voice got out to thousands of people because we used a channel. Maybe it was channel
89.5.
Well, I don't know. Because I'm not really the author of the radio. But it tells me, if you use a channel, you can reach the people.
Osobola okutuukira abantu.
If they have a radio.
Singa bayina radio.
Right? So then God,
kakati Katonda,
when he created man,
bwe yatonda omuntu,
he made a channel.
Yateekawo emigutu.
And he gave you a radio receiver. Right? He made you a soul. And he filled you with his spirit. So now you are a soul and a spirit. And that soul and spirit shall live much longer than the body he gave you. Right? Well, when God gave Adam a body, he told him, if you obey me, then you will live eternally. But if you disobey me, you shall not live eternally. You shall die. And he said, you shall surely die. And one translation says, you shall die the death. Really, you will die two times. So Adam failed. And he only got to be 950 years old. That was a very short life. Comparing to what he could have been. You know, Adam?
Adam.
He could have walked around together with us. Even today. He would have been a young man. A little more than 6,000 years. Hey! Remember now. You are building up. You are building up a faith where you're never going to die. So 6,000 years is just the beginning. Yeah, amen. When you have lived 600 million years, then you have just started. Hey, that's the intention of God. Because God himself, he has no age. He's always been there. And he will always be there. But he made a channel. So he made channel 1. And that was the channel for what we call the Old Testament. So he called himself through that channel Lord. Right? That's the English terminology. In the Jewish terminology, it is Jehovah or
Yahweh.
Or if you're going to be polite, Yahweh. They have so much respect for that name that they hardly dare to say it. But that was the first office of the one God. But then he promised, when Adam failed, he said, I shall send you a second Adam. Adam number two.
Adamu namba biri.
And God said, that one, I will invest all my authority. Okay?
Amen.
No problem. So therefore, Jesus Christ became channel number two. Because there is three offices. But those three offices don't operate at the same time. So the Spirit of the Father operated the first 4,000 years. Right? And then Jesus Christ came. And he had a short-lived terminology as a human being. He only lived with the fullness of the Godhead. He only lived with the fullness of the Godhead. Among mankind. For three and a half years. Right? But still, Jesus said, to me is given all authority in heaven and earth. And he also said, I am going to leave you, so you will not see me anymore. But I will come back to you again. And I shall send the Holy Spirit as a spokesman. That's channel 3. Right? And Jesus said, the Holy Spirit can do nothing of his own self. My, think about that. The Holy Spirit cannot operate of his own mind because he is an instrument in the hands of Jesus Christ. He said, Jesus said, I shall take all mine and give to him so that you can know the will of God. Right? Hey, nobody sees Jesus anymore. I know that you can have dreams. You can have visions. You can see angelic beings. And some people have seen Jesus Christ as the high priest. Hey, you read that in the book of Revelation. Like John saw Jesus Christ dressed as a high priest. And he also saw him later as the King of Kings. When you read Revelation chapter 19, here Jesus is coming on his white horse and is riding together with an army. Which I believe is the bride of Christ. Hallelujah. So, my Lord, one God, three offices, God reveals himself through Jehovah, through Jesus Christ, and through the Holy Spirit. Not a trinity, but one God with three channels. Hallelujah. And now, we are operating under channel 3. Right? Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And Jesus said, when you read 1 Corinthians, chapter 15, and he said, I will be there.
Agamba.
And I will put every authority under my command. And when I have fulfilled my job, I shall deliver my authority back to God the Father. So that God can be all in all. And Jesus Christ will become the firstborn among brethren. Right? Firstborn? You may say, my Lord. Remember when you read the genealogy?
Yeah.
For example, from Adam. From Adam to Jesus Christ. It was 14 generations, and then 14 generations, and then 14 again, until it get back to Adam, the Son of God. So how could Jesus be the firstborn? Well, he was the first one God created. Right?
Yeah.
He didn't physically put him here. He put the first Adam first. But he already knew that Adam would fail. And he knew that every son down the line would fail. Therefore, God had to make a different species. So when he talked to Mary the Virgin, through the angel Gabriel, he said, that which is born through you now is going to be born out of the Holy Spirit. Right? And Mary, she said, I am the servant, the maid of God. Be it as you say. And God took an egg, not from Mary. He took the sperm, not from Mary, or not from Joseph, but he made a perfect little being, put it in Mary's womb, and she became like a surrogate mother. A surrogate mother. Alright, you have never heard that expression? That's okay. Well, remember today, if Grace and I could not have children, but the doctor, he could fix my sperm and Grace's egg. And we could go to a different woman and could say, would you please carry our child? And the lady say, how is that going to be? Well, you just go to the hospital, and the doctor, he will put that little egg and sperm in your stomach, and then you will carry our child. You never heard about that? You heard about it? Okay, yeah.
Hey,
today, it is very easy. 100 years ago, they would say, you are crazy. But But God was not crazy. Because if it had been Mary's egg, Jesus would not be perfect. Right? Now he had to be perfect. He had to be the next original Son of God. So, like God created Adam, he was a perfect son. There was no sin in him until he disobeyed God. Then sin entered in. Because sin is a very strange word. It really means disobedience. Acting against the will of God. That causes separation. Right? And God wants you to be his obedient child. Because he plans for you to have eternal life. Amen. So remember, when God made this plan, he did not want anyone to perish, to be destroyed. So whatever you start to think when you read the Bible, then God, don't get that in your mind that someone is created for destruction. God wants every soul to repent and come to the acknowledgement of truth. Right? How are we going to preach the gospel if we say some are born for hell? So you look. He's probably born for hell. I forget about him. I will forget about him. Oh, I don't think he is born for heaven either. So here, you start being selective. If you see some bad actions, he's going to hell. Right?
Yeah.
We are the perfect judge over people's life. We condemn people without even knowing them. Remember, you and I, how did we get saved? Because we were born for heaven? No. Because we repented from our bad ways. All men have sinned and come short of the knowledge of God. None of us had a chance. But God provided a perfect sacrifice. And the only thing we need to is to accept the redeeming power of God. Remember? When Adam failed in the Garden of Eden, God spoke to him and he said, I'm sorry, but there is going to be no eating of the tree of life.
Because
I don't want you to live eternally under that condition. So therefore he said, Adam, I'm going to show you something. I am going to create another Adam. And he showed him the second Adam. He actually showed him Jesus Christ. So that
Adam,
when he looked at him, he knew at least there is one that are going to be able to pay the price without being disobedient.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Alright? Well, if you have problem with that, then just listen to Jesus Christ. He was in John chapter 8, I think. And he looked at the Pharisees and he said, I want to tell you something. Abraham, he saw my day and he rejoiced. How can Abraham see Jesus Christ? More than 1,800 years down the road. You know what God does? He takes his prophet. He takes the ones who want to be obedient. He takes a man or a woman that says, God, I'm longing for you. Can you help me? Help me to see. Help me to have a purpose. And when God hears that, he is pleased. And he comes down in the spirit. And he shows himself. Well, he doesn't show any feature. But he shows his presence. Have you ever felt the presence of God? Isn't it wonderful? My! It's like swimming in an ocean. You're not drowning. You're just swimming as a hallelujah. God's presence is unique. Hallelujah. Remember, I was a sinner. I never even thought about Jesus Christ. But a friend of mine, he said, I want you to come to church with me. And I said, church? What is that? Oh, it is good. Come and see. I said, well, he was my friend. So I just went with him. And I went and I sat alone upon a balcony. I was looking over the people. And I thought, this is funny. This is strange. People believe in a God. They're talking about Jesus Christ. And then they took my friend and he knelt by the altar. They laid hands upon him. And I was looking. This is strange. But then suddenly, there was a voice behind me. And the voice said, what your friends are entering into now, you have no part of it. And I turned quickly around to see the man who was talking. And there was no one there. I say, my Lord, I am hearing things. I got so scared. I got out of that church. So I said, no, I'm not going back there. You know, that voice never left. It was sticking to my mind. It was sticking to my
soul.
And I had to say, after a few months, this voice, don't leave me. I don't know how. So I said, I better find out. Because I don't want to go through my life on a lie. Hey, no God, no Jesus, right? That's what people tell themselves. But I knew I had heard something and I needed to find out. So after 11 months I went back to that church again. And I was sitting not on the balcony. I was afraid of the balcony. So I went and sat among the people. And I just sit down and the voice came back. And he said, today you cannot leave this place without changing. I said, my Lord, how am I going to change? I didn't know nothing about how to change. But I did not need to run to turn around. Because that voice spoke with the same effect. And I knew there is more between heaven and earth than I could ever imagine. So I was sitting through the service and wondering, how can I make a change? How do they do these things? Because I never been in church. I didn't know how it operates. But then at the end of the service, I whispered in my heart, and I said, God, if this is you, then I need proof. And I said, I see people sitting on the platform like, right? And I said, if you can make one of them to raise up and start coming down the aisle like this and come down to my row and press himself and stand right before me and say these words, you must be saved tonight. Then Lord, I will take that as a sign that you see everything and I will surrender to you. I even didn't know what it was to surrender. But I said, at least I will not speak against that voice. And you know, just a few minutes and a person rose up, walked down, didn't talk to anyone, came to my room and started pressing himself between the chair and the knees of other people and stood right before me and looked and he said, you must be saved tonight. He used my own words. Not one mark to much or to less. And I said, Lord, my, this was accurate. I said, I guess I'm all yours. I guess I am all yours. So I got up from my seat. I walked up to the front. And I said, from no one, I believe in God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hey. That was the first time I started hearing the voice of God. And you may say, how does it sound? I really cannot explain it. He just speaks. He speaks like I hear it. But I know nobody else hears it. So he must speak into my spirit. And I can hear it. And I can say, Lord, is that you? And I don't need to say it with my lips. I can just think and speak softly inside. And he says, I want you to do this. I want you to do that. I said, Lord, nobody's done that before. Is that really you? But you know, he has an ability to convince you that it is him. And after living with the Lord for about 50 years, I will say, God has never ever been wrong. When he speaks, it's always on time and it's always true. Hallelujah. Hey, remember, I am just a piece of clay. Because if you start to think that you're someone special, God will stop talking. Right? He can only speak when we humble ourselves. So many times when he speaks, people don't understand you. And they say, you do that? You're crazy. But you cannot tell them. But God told me to do it. It doesn't help if you say that. You just have to say in your heart, well, God, you told me to do it. And if I'm crazy, then I'm crazy for you. Hallelujah. So you see, God gives us a spirit so that he can talk to us. But we have to make up our mind. Remember Judas Iscariot? He saw the mighty works of Jesus Christ. And he said, I'd like to join that fellow. And Jesus looked at him and he said, come, follow me. But he also knew that man, one day, he will betray me. But remember, Jesus gave him a chance to the last minute. When Judas kissed him at the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus said, "Friend, why are you here?" You know, Judas could have repented, but he did not want to. There was something in him that rejected the goodness of God. Right? Look at Cain in the garden after the Garden of Eden. And he started having animosity against Abel, his brother. Because
Adam
had told both children and said, every once in a while, you will have to recognize the coming of the second Adam. That's what they did all through the Old Testament. And Abel said, "Yes, Dad, I will do just that." So when he was going to recognize the coming of the second Adam, he took a lamb. He killed it. The blood of the lamb become a symbolic acknowledgement of the fallen mankind. This is God's provided way to accept us as sinners. And God saw Abel and he said, "That's my child." And he accepted it. But Cain, he had a resistant spirit. And he said, "I'll do what I want. So I'll offer anything." So he worked hard. And he presented fruits of the earth. And he said, "God, accept my hard labor." And God said, he said, "Nothing." And Cain said, "I've been working hard, and you don't even say a word." Well, he already knew the only thing he needed to do was to kill a lamb, shed the blood, and tell, "I believe in the coming Christ." But no, he said, "I did it my way." Right?
Hallelujah.
That's an old famous song of Frank Sinatra. People want to do it their way. And God did not even look at it. It's almost like he said, "Cain, don't you ever learn? It doesn't take labor. I don't need your hard work. I need you to accept that there is another one coming who will do the work." So remember, you are not saved by works. You're saved by accepting that Jesus Christ paid the ransom price and open up the way back to God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
It does not take works. But I said, what? Shall we never work? Not to get saved. No. Because then you think you are saved because of your efforts. But you will always be saved by grace. And you say, so I don't have to work? Well, I didn't say that. Right? But to come inside, it's not your works. But once you are inside, then you have coming in talking terms with God Almighty. Now he can say, son, daughter, this is what I want you to do. But not to get saved. But now you are a child of God. And God sends you out. He gives you a mission to fulfill so that you can do His work. Remember? Your works never works. Only His works will help you. Right? Remember now, you are a child of God. And when you got born again, you really died. The born again experience is dying, get buried, baptized, and get filled with the Holy Ghost. The three perfect elements so if your repentance is for real, not like Judas Iscariot. Oh Lord, I have repented. And Jesus,
yes,
that's what you think. You only have a technical repentance. Because when pressure comes, you will run like crazy. You will run to the Pharisees. You will even sell out your master. Remember, God don't accept that type of repentance. Right? When you repent, you're not alive anymore. You are dead to yourself. And here comes the symbolic way. You let yourself be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ as a acknowledgement or a proof that you are now dead and buried. And then God fills you with the Holy Spirit. And from then on, He can talk to you anytime He wants. He can wake you up in the middle of the night and send you to the neighbor. He can inspire you and send you across the world. In 1973, in the month of February, I walked into a very strange church. I have never been in that place in my life. And the preacher, He looked at the young man back there.
Yatunuulira omuvubuka omutema Mikaya.
And that was me.
Yali nze.
And he said, young man, can you sing a song? Well, I could sing. So I walked up. I grabbed a guitar. And I was singing one of the Psalms of the Bible. And the people got blessed. They had never seen me before. Then when I was done singing, he said, can you also give us a little testimony? Well, I could. So I just told a few experiences that I've had with the Lord lately. And people got very happy. So then I went back to my seat. And then, when the church was over, I rose up, and I was aiming for the door. But before I got to the door, there was an elderly sister in the Lord. She walked over, and she grabbed my hand, and suddenly, she started like that. And she said, thus said the Lord, I shall send you over the mountains, over the seas, to the ends of the world, and you shall minister my word. And I looked at the lady and I said, my Lord, she must be crazy, right? Because I've never been outside my own country. I was just a city boy. I didn't know nothing. What God had in mind. But, of course, I just kept it in my heart. But 4 years later, I was invited by an American pastor to come to Indiana, because I'd learned to know the message. And he said, I want you to preach. And I said, and I can say, I did not know much English at that time. So I say, I don't think even I can preach in English. But I said, okay, I would like to come. Maybe I can come only for once. To see how they practice their church. In another continent. I knew, the only thing I knew was the church in Norway. And on a Friday night, the pastor said, I want you to preach tonight. Okay. And I got up, stood by the pulpit, and I took my Bible, and I was just about to start. And a brother in the church, he rose up and he pointed me out and he said, I have sent you over the oceans, over the mountains, to the ends of the world. I said, what? That's that old lady. 4 years ago, I remember, she said the same words. And then, the Lord came, and he spoke into my spirit, and he said, yes, and you thought she was crazy. My. But he said also, now it begins. Oh my Lord. That was in the month of June
1977.
And from that month in 1977, we have traveled
to Tambute
every direction,
direction
in the world.
Musiona.
Every single year.
Buri mwaka.
From then till now.
Okuva okumure na sahu musamu. Paka kati.
And I can tell you.
Nasoroka.
It is not me.
CNZ.
I'm still just a city boy.
Chari mvubuka wa Katanga.
I'm still saved by grace.
Nakoli walwati sa.
I don't feel any importance. But I think I have a very important master. And I keep telling him, as long as you anoint me, I will go anywhere. And that's what we've done. Alright, I don't need to tell all the countries. But I believe we are fulfilling what the Lord started speaking about in 1973. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And I got a wife, Sister Grace. And she, when she met me, I even heard the voice of the Lord. Because I went to a Bible school. Since I didn't know the Bible, I did not know the Bible much. So I said, I think I need to go to a Bible school. So I can seek the Lord, read the Bible, and prepare. I didn't know what I was doing. Then I walked in to the Bible school, and it was a big saloon, like a dining area.
And there were
40 students sitting there. And I was kind of looking like everyone. And then I saw Grace. And I heard a voice. It was the Lord. And he said, this is the one for you. I said, Lord, I didn't come here to find a woman. I come here to seek in the Bible, to study the Word of God. I didn't come looking for women. But it didn't help. He had already spoken. And my eyes, I could see there was something special about that girl. That was the very first day at the start of that Bible school. And 1 year later, we got married. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Because we found out we have the same desire in life. To give our life fully over to the Lord. We were already saved. But salvation is one thing. That's your security for heaven. But you're also going to work for Him. Because Peter said one day, Lord, we have forsaken all things. What shall be our reward?
And
the Lord said, all of you who have forsaken houses, parents, friends, brothers, sisters, for my name's sake, you shall receive much.
Beach.
And he also said to Peter, and if you follow and walk with me, I will place 12 thrones in Israel, and I will place each of you on the chairs, all the apostles, and you shall judge the children of Israel. Right? So when you start walking with the Lord, now you are saved. You don't need to worry about salvation. Now, you're going to lift your heart and your mind and look up to the Lord and say, Lord, what do you want me to do? And then you wait upon the Lord until he starts inspiring you. Remember, you can work yourself to death and have no reward, because it's all your work. Don't do your work. Do his work.
Amen.
Make sure he is your inspiration. He is the beginning and the end of your life's walk. Then you will have a full reward in what you're doing. But if you only cook up your own stories, then God is not responsible. So therefore, always do his work. I learned that lesson. And I can tell you, some people say, Brother Rolf, don't you get tired? Hey, you've been traveling now for more than 40 years. And you travel month after month. Hey, tired? Of course. 24 hours a day, you will get sleepy. Everybody gets sleepy. I go to bed, but I wake up in the morning and I'm ready. Right?
Yeah.
And I don't worry, because I'm here now. I really did not know what I was going to start to say, but I've already said something and it is taken out of what God has inspired me to do, because I believe it is life in that. You don't need to know about me as a person, because I'm just a regular man. But what is interesting is how God is leading us. Because if you leave here today and you say, oh God, he is really led by God, then you did not understand what I said. Right? Because it's not about me. But I am trying to inspire a certain jealousy in you. Not to be jealous of me, but to say, Lord, this is possible. I want it too. Right? I want to be led by you. And if I haven't heard you, then Lord, speak to me like you spoke to the brother. You know what I said one day? Lord, speak to me as you spoke to the apostles, as you spoke to the prophets, because they were able to write a book. It's a storybook about how God came down to individuals and led them in a supernatural way. Hallelujah. And then, in 1972, I heard a tape of a man called William Branham. And I heard something. I said, my Lord, you've been speaking to that man. And I said, Lord, you also spoke to me. I'm so happy that you speak to people. And like you spoke to him, I said, Lord, continue to speak to me so I can be led by the Holy Spirit the way that he was led by the Holy Spirit. We're not here to try to copy William Branham, but we're here for God to speak to us like he spoke to him. Because he pointed us to Jesus Christ. And you were not supposed to look at the man, but you were supposed to look in the direction that he pointed, so that we can have the same message of God's mercy to give to the people. If I only say to you, the prophet said, the prophet said, the prophet said, you can read that every day of your life. But you have to have it conveyed into your spiritual makeup. So you can say, speak to me as you spoke to him, as you spoke to the prophets, as you spoke to the apostles. Then we are on the right track. And if people don't believe you, you know what you can say then? Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do. Right? Because God speaks to you. And some people, they think the only one God ever spoke to was William Branham. But that's not the truth. In Norway, we have a lot of strong believers. And one person came to me and he said, I know of only one man who have the Holy Spirit. I said, oh, okay, who's that? William Branham.
William Branham.
Oh, I said, well, that makes two. And he said, two? Who can the other one be? I said, me. Hallelujah. I'm not a big man. But I'm a believer. That when you receive the Holy Spirit, then you got it. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And he told me, well, but you're too young. And you cannot preach. You don't know everything Brother Branham said. Well, I said, I'm still preaching. But how can you? Well, I said, remember now, William Branham spoke led by the Holy Spirit. And I do the same. I have to speak what the Holy Spirit leads me to say. And that is not a bold statement. It is a needed experience. We cannot speak without the leadership of the Holy Spirit. So that goes for all of us. Hey, if you're a sister in the Lord, you are representing Jesus Christ. Not just because what you're clothed in. Not just what you have wearing as clothes. But what you are in Christ. Right? Sisters, you need the Holy Spirit just as all others. And then, when you have the Holy Spirit, you are expressing the mind of Christ. Remember, your personality speaks louder than anything else. Remember what the Lord said to Brother Branham? He said, your thoughts speaks louder in heaven than your words. So remember, when you're thinking about the Lord, the Lord is proud of you. He's gonna protect you. He's gonna protect brothers and sisters. Right? Hey, that's why I'm proud. To have my wife with me all the time. Some people say, well, why do you have your wife with you? I say, she's the better part of me. Hey, when you see me, you see the half part. When you see her, you see the whole picture. Right?
Hallelujah.
Because we are full gospel believers. Amen. You get me tonight? You understand me? Wonderful.
Hallelujah.
So here then, all through the Old Testament, God came down and he showed the coming Christ. That's why you can find Jesus Christ in every book of the Bible. Because God wanted to show the coming generations that he have already had Christ in mind. And when the apostle Matthew
wrote
the gospel of Matthew, he quoted a lot of the Old Testament. And he said, this is what is prophesied by Isaiah,
Hosea,
Micah,
Micaiah.
And he just mentioned a lot of prophecies. And as Jesus fulfilled the prophecies, the disciples were reminded. He fulfills even that. And think about the last week of Jesus' life. And Jesus said to the disciples, can you go into town? You'll find a little donkey there.
And
bring it to me. And they said, what are we going to tell? Just tell them. The Lord needs it. And they went into town. There they saw the little donkey. And they started loosing the reins. And the man came and said, what are you doing? You're taking my monkey with my donkey. Right?
Hallelujah.
And they said, the Lord needs it. And something happened. And it's okay. And he let them have it. Because it is written, he shall come patiently riding on a donkey. And when the people, the Pharisees, and the scribes saw Jesus riding into Jerusalem. Remember, they knew all the scriptures. They knew the prophets. But when they saw Jesus come riding, they said, ma, what is he doing? Well, he's only fulfilling scripture. They could not see him. He fulfilled more prophecies in the last week of his living than he had done the other 3.5 years. One after the other. I wonder, how could they not see it? And the prophecy also said that when he gives up his life, all the types and shadows, all the types and shadows of the prophetic word will be fulfilled. And when he gave up the ghost, the Lord took the curtain and tore it in two pieces. And the high priest, who was standing there, holy man of God, and they heard the earth trembling under their feet, and the holy curtain wrenching in two. And one soldier said, when he saw all this happening, oh surely, that was the Son of God. But you could not get one Pharisee to say the same. And you know what the Jews even say today? Jesus?
Yes.
Well, he was probably there. But he was a troublemaker. That's the Jews of your day. I will end now with a little story. Last year, on my way to Johannesburg, from Amsterdam, I saw a Jew. It was a rabbi. He was dressed in black. In black. He had his traditional hat on.
And I
was walking back in the airplane. And when I saw the Jew, I always greet him. I said, Shalom. And to my surprise, he responded positively. Because most Jews, especially when they're rabbis, they want to talk, they don't want to talk to you. If you smile to them, they'll just say, like they don't see you. But he didn't. And I said, sir, are you on your way out on a mission? Or are you on your way home? Because there's a lot of Jews in Johannesburg. And he said, no, I am a rabbi. I am a teacher of the Torah. Oh, I said, beautiful. I am a missionary. I also teach the Bible. I teach the Torah, the prophets, the Old and the New Testament. And he said, there is no New Testament. There is no New Testament. Well, I said, to me it is. I read the whole Bible. And he said, and you say, you're a missionary. Well, do you know Hebrew? Because that's God's language. I said, no, sir. I only know hallelujah. I know shalom. And I know Jehovah. But my Hebrew is very limited. And he said, and how are you going to teach? You don't know God's language. I said, sir, God spoke to me. And when he spoke to me, he spoke in Norwegian. And he said, what? You tell me God spoke to you? And you know what he said? I have studied the Torah from I was allowed to read it. I've gone through all the schooling. I've been in university. I have studied everything. And I have friends. They're just like me. And he said, no one of us have ever heard the voice of God. I said, my Lord. Well,
why?
He spoke to me. You see, people can be very dedicated. They can study the Bible or the Torah for years and years. And they don't know that God can speak today. My Lord. And then I said, and when he filled me with the Holy Spirit, and he said, what? Have God filled you with the Holy Spirit? I said, yes. If that hadn't happened, I wouldn't have been here. And he said, my Lord, how can this happen? Well,
what?
If he had read the New Testament,
I
could have told him, read Romans chapter 10 and 11, and you will know why God speaks to the Gentiles. Because the Jews are partly blinded. That God will come back and speak to them again when he opens up the 70th week of Daniel. Through two prophets, are going to be filled with the Holy Ghost, and they're going to preach the message of this hour. And they are going to be instrumental to anoint 144,000 Jews. Oh yes, the gospel will come back to the Jews, but not until the times of the Gentiles is fulfilled. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And he had to go away
and do
some more prayer. I went back and sit in my seat. But when he was done praying, he came straight back to me. And he said, sir, can you come back with me? I need to know a little more about the Holy Spirit. So we walked back there. And we had a communication. Well, I spoke out of my experience. And he could not figure out how that God could speak to a Gentile. And yet he had never heard the voice of God himself. Remember, it is not because I am special,
but
it is because God speaks to the Gentiles still. Hallelujah. But it won't be long now. It will not be long now till the Lord closed the doors for the Gentiles. And I, my proposition to you is really this. Make sure God is inspiring you, talking to you, leading you. Hey, get jealous. Not in an evil way. Just in a longing way. You know, my Bible says, even God is jealous. Right? That means he don't want you to play with any other spirit, because he's a jealous God. And now you can get jealous too. Don't play with any other spirit, because you're jealous for God. Right? So he can speak. and lead you and make you an instrument to fulfill the Great Commission. That is set before us. Preach the gospel to the end of the world until it is fulfilled. It started in Jerusalem and it's going to end in Jerusalem. Then the work is fulfilled. May the Lord bless you tonight. Hallelujah. That you may open up an avenue so you can see clearly what the Spirit of the Lord is doing today. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I hope I don't leave any empty spots. So that you say, what did he mean? Right? You understand what I said? I hope you're catching that. The Lord bless you. Be with you. It's a great to be here tonight. And I pray you will go home stronger than when you came in. Amen.
Hallelujah.
God bless you. My brother. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
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 God be praised.
Amen.
Apart from giving thanks to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Sure, we have been blessed. From the pastor, servant of God, brother Rob Stromer, and his invitation to us is a real blessing to us. The prayers of the church. Give God a mighty hand in your
heart.
Hallelujah. I will say, we shall say that God surely has visited us this very evening.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Surely I feel blessed from Pastor Stromer.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. If you are being blessed with me, just put up your hand if you are being blessed this evening.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. God be praised.
Hallelujah.
So we thank God for the blessing he has given us to host the minister of God.